Hello and welcome to the Book Launch Show. I'm your host, Tim Grawl, and I have been working with authors to help them build their platforms and launch best-selling books for over 8 years. I've launched dozens of best-selling books. They've gone as high as number one on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post bestseller list. I've also worked with authors just getting their first books off the ground and out into the world. I've created this show to share the strategies and tactics I've learned along the way. Now, for those of you paying attention, you've probably picked up on the fact that this is going to be a sporadic podcast. This is definitely not going to be a weekly thing. As I come across interesting things, as I am able to talk to interesting people, I'm going to release new episodes whenever it makes sense. So this won't be every week, but it will be ongoing and definitely sporadic. The next three episodes are really special. I have a friend, Charlie Hone, who I met in the early days that I started working with authors. We actually met when I was working with the very first author, Ramit Sethi. And he's worked with Tim Ferriss. He's worked with Tucker Max. He's worked with even clients that I've worked with, like Charles Duhigg. He's just a really smart guy that is always doing interesting things. And so he reached out to me about his latest book project and how he's launching it on Kickstarter. So I get a lot of questions about launching books on Kickstarter, and I always struggle to answer because I don't like giving answers that I haven't actually tested, but at the same time, I've never actually launched a book on Kickstarter myself or for one of my clients, so I don't want to just start giving advice when I haven't actually gone out and tried stuff. So Charlie is coming out with his next book. His first two books were Play It Away and Recession Proof Graduate, both books that I have loved personally and I regularly recommend. And Charlie's next project, he's putting out on Kickstarter. And when Charlie does something, he always does it right. And so I invited him on to talk about how he's launching his book, how he's putting it out into the world, and what he's done to prepare and get ready to put his book out on Kickstarter. So this is actually going to be a four-part series. The first three parts, Charlie and I are just going to talk about his preparation, the marketing, and all of the strategy that's gone into the launch of his book on Kickstarter. And then for the fourth episode, I'm going to bring him back after the Kickstarter campaign to deconstruct it and talk about what worked, what didn't, and what he would do different next time. So I know a lot of you have thought about doing a Kickstarter campaign or even wanted to do maybe your own crowdsource through your own platform. And so Charlie talks about what he's done to prepare for this. So in this first episode, it's all about the prep. And again, Charlie, it's hard to put into words just how he brings a thoughtfulness and a planning to everything he does. And I'm always impressed with all the work that he's doing. And so I recommend that you listen to this episode. And then over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to release the other episodes so that you can get the full story of what's going on. Also, I would recommend as a thank you to Charlie, because he came on and did this for free and just, you know, shared everything. We talked for over an hour. And then he's going to come back on for that last episode after it's over. So just as a thanks to Charlie, and the book project is just really, really cool. So make sure you go to Kickstarter and support his campaign. If you go to Kickstarter and just search his name, Charlie Hone, his last name is H-O-E-H-N, you can find it. Or if you go to booklaunchshow.com, I will put a link there as well. So anyway, I'm going to stop just blabbering on here and go ahead and jump in to this very first episode that's all about Kickstarter. All right, so Charlie, let's just start with, tell me about the project, what you're working on, and kind of the uniqueness of it, because you're doing an interesting project here. So just kind of get, you know, me and the listeners up to speed on what the project is, how you got started with it, and kind of what your goals with it are.
Sure. So I'll start with where it kind of came from, which is this lifelong desire to have more from work. I've always wanted more from work. I've wanted it to be more than a paycheck. I want to do work that matters. And a lot of my readers feel the same, that they don't want a stressful, boring, joyless existence. They want to do what they love and they want to stay true to themselves. So for the last almost decade, I've been studying why people fall in love with their work. The people who tend to do the greatest work in the world and love what they do. And, you know, I've done a couple books and a few TED Talks on the subject, but this recent book, the one that I'm coming out with, Play for a Living, is my favorite because it's an art book that contains the wisdom of our greatest workers. So it contains quotes and portraits of the innovators and the trailblazers who found joy in their work and changed the world. So people like J.K. Rowling, Bill Murray, Steve Jobs, Dr. Seuss, Amelia Earhart, the Beatles, Oprah, Richard Branson, stuff like that. And it's meant to just be like a daily reminder to enjoy your work, to not get too caught up in the stresses of life, but to live a more fun and passionate existence. So the goal is for people to have it be something that they can flip through every day for a bite-sized dose of wisdom that will make them smile and loosen up at work. And what's cool about this, what really got me excited was, you know, I started this it was a little chapter. It was like a little mini chapter in my last book. And then I just loved it so much and I dove deeper into it and I turned it into a slide share and that went viral. And so I decided, let's make it a book, but let's make it a huge group project. So for the last 2 years, my co-author, McKenna Bailey, and I have been working with over 50 artists all over the world who volunteered to contribute portraits to this. And the result is just awesome. It's a beautiful coffee table book that you want to bring with you to the office.
So let me back up, because that was interesting how you got to this project. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you just posted a little bit on your blog, and then that grew into the slideshow thing, and then that grew into the book. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you didn't post the first one thinking, I want to make this a book.
Right.
So you know, because one of the hardest things about a book is finding something that'll resonate with enough people.
Yeah.
And so what made it, what do you have that other people don't have that allow you to actually test these ideas?
Well, I think for one, just a willingness to test it out. So what I did to test it was, I put it on my blog just to see what would happen. And then that got enough attention and enough shares that it made me take notice. And then I thought, as the idea kind of shaped into something a little bigger, as, boy, this would be really make a cool book. You know, so I started doing Instagram posts. I put the individual quotes on Pinterest. And I thought, man, this would be a cool book and people seem to like this. So what I did was I wrote a blog post and I sent out an email to my list and I said, if any artists on here are willing to submit a portrait for one of these quotes, we'll try and make this into a book. And I thought, if I get just one portrait, then that'll be motivation enough to see if I can make this into a book. And because I didn't expect anyone to volunteer to create a piece of art, that's an intensive, you know, that takes time. I got 6 portraits back from all different people, and they were good. That was the other thing, is they were much better than I expected. So I thought, I can come up with a system to make this work. It's going to take time, but I bet I can pull this off.
You know, that reminds me of, so a while back I was emceeing a conversation a Q&A session with Seth Godin, Stephen Pressfield, and Sean Coyne. And Seth, and so it was with writers. So some fiction writers were writing about, like, you know, how to build an audience or how to know when your book is any good. And that, I forgot the exact question, but in that realm. And Seth was like, you know, just give the first chapter to like 20 people and see how many of those ask for chapter two.
Yeah.
And if like 18 of them ask for chapter two, you know, you've got something.
Oh, you're
so
on a, yeah.
Send them chapter two. And then if they want chapter three. So it's like this way of like just kind of dripping stuff out to people. And that's when you were talking, like that jumped in my head, is like, that's what you were doing, is like, okay, I was just trying to put interesting content out. This seemed to resonate, so let me put a little more of that out. And then, like, you know, it just kept growing, and you knew you were onto something. And so many times we see these projects, and we think that they were just something that, like, somebody came up with out of the blue, and they spent 2 years building this project, when really it just started, you know, small, and just waiting for putting stuff out and waiting for it to resonate.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, it started off in my last book. It was just like this little section that had like a handful of quotes listed all in a row. And that was the part of the book, of my own book, that I would return to and be like, these are so fun. I really like that part. And so really, it was just a little Word document for myself as the first step. And sharing your work with people who want to do more of it or to contribute, I think is something anybody can do.
Well, and I think too, I like, you know, a lot of times authors will try to like coax people into doing things for them by doing like a giveaway, or like, if you help me, then I'll give you this thing. And I always kind of caution against it, because you want to find the intrinsically motivated people, the people that are doing it just because they want to be a part of your work. And that's what you're doing too, is you're like, you're not getting paid, like, I'm not doing anything here, but if you would like to be a part of what I'm doing, you know, submit some artwork.
Exactly. 100%. And that's a great point, because when we were reaching out to these artists, they said, a lot of them have told me, one of the most important things you guys said to us right off the bat was, we cannot pay you. This is totally volunteer based. If you do not want to participate, delete this email right now, or just like close out of it, because it's no offense to us, but we're just telling you right off the bat. Because I think a lot of people who do projects similar or want to get something out of somebody, they kind of have these expectations that, yes, someday I'm going to pay this person or give them something in return. But you really do want those people, like you said, who are intrinsically motivated. And just to be honest and upfront with them and say, if you aren't motivated by this, it's okay. Just ignore it.
Yeah.
You don't have to call in a favor.
Yeah, and I always encourage writers to like put themselves on the other end, because so many times with our own writing, we kind of get stuck in this like we've got to like convince people to be a part of what we're doing. When if you turn around, like, you could probably list off a dozen authors that if they asked you to be a part of something they were doing, you would just jump in. You know, and it's like, sure, you know, your audience may not be on the scale that author's is. But I found that, like, no matter the size of the audience, whether it's 100 people or 10,000 or 100,000 people, there's always this like percentage that just want to do more with you.
100%.
And so, like, those, and I always just like find those people and give them ways to be a part of what you're doing, and you'll both benefit.
Yeah. And you and I, that's how we both got our start in this industry, or in this field, I should say, is by jumping on those opportunities whenever we saw them. That's exactly how we got our start.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'll mention here too, that I have, I think there, no, look what I got right here.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
I keep copies of this book, because Recession Proof Graduate, because it's still the book I give to anybody that's trying to like get into any industry or anything. I still think you need a different title, but you know, that's between you and God. But like,
I'm willing to talk about that. Yeah.
Like, it's just such, it's such a great book. This is like a commercial for your other book. We'll get to this one. But like, cause you originally released it as just a PDF through Ramit's site.
Yeah.
And that was right when I was like really getting.
Yeah.
Well, I downloaded it when you guys released it as like a PDF.
Right.
And I read it and I was just trying to start working with authors at the time. And I literally just copy and pasted the email, like in the emails. And still one of my favorite stories is when you were on a podcast talking about how you tried to work with one of the authors
Daniel Pink.
And I beat you to it with your own game. So anyway, yes. If you're trying to get into any kind of industry or just want to work with interesting people or just get a, build a resume in an industry that you feel like you can't break into, buy a copy of Recession Proof Graduate by Charlie Hone. You'll absolutely love it. Okay.
Thank you.
So, so we're at the point where you started getting artwork for the book. So when did you realize like this was a real book project that you're going to want to take to the end? Cause you know, there's always, we always got these little, like I've got this idea right now for this actual like physical product I want to build. I'm just kind of playing with it, but I haven't gone all in on it yet.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Like there's this point where you're like, okay, this has been fun, but am I really going to do this? Like,
right.
What happened with that?
Yeah, because books are a pregnancy for your brain, and you have to decide if you want to carry it to term or not.
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So after we got the 6 portraits, the first ones, I still was on the fence about it, but I was inspired to keep pushing forward. So what I did next was I put out a call to my email list for a project manager. Because I realized if I was going to pull it off, it was going to take a lot of effort and a lot of attention to detail that just frankly, I didn't have the bandwidth for at the time, and especially later on. So I asked, you know, again, if anybody might be interested in being the project manager for a book. And I had a bunch of people apply, a ton. And I gave them a small test, which was basically, I didn't even know if the book was legal at the time because I wanted to have portraits of these successful people. And I wondered, can I just take Creative Commons pictures of them and slap it into the book and then throw the quotes next to them? Because that's going to be the easiest, the path of least resistance. It'll take very little time. I had them research that, and the person who wrote back the most succinct, in plain English explanation of what the laws were and what I could do and what I could not do was the person I ended up choosing. And she's been fantastic. She stuck with it through the whole process. But so I said, I took her on, and as she proved herself throughout the process, I said, you can be co-author because you've done so much of the heavy lifting. And from there, when I realized it was going to be a book was when we came up with the process for acquiring all these portraits and getting artists to create them. So our process was initially, create a spreadsheet of the best artists you can find on Instagram, on Flickr, on Behance, on all these sites, and then reach out to them. Reach out to like 100 of them with this exact email script and see how many of them say that they're in and what it's like, how long it's going to take. And we had like a 40% success rate from the first initial outreach or something like that of people being like, yeah, I'm in. So we had enough momentum there. And then from there, we realized we still needed more artists in the project. So we used Amazon's Mechanical Turk to create a bigger spreadsheet of artists who were legit. And we reached out to those people. So through all that, we were able to get all the portraits. It took a long time, but it was definitely worth it.
Talk about what Amazon Turk is?
Yeah.
Because not everybody knows.
Sure. So Amazon Mechanical Turks, like, it's basically you're paying a few cents to a bunch of people for completing a task that requires a bunch of work. So an example would be if I had 1,000 pictures that I needed to have tagged have data updated within the file, I could give it to my assistant and it would take my assistant 12 hours to get through those, right? Or I could give it to Amazon Mechanical Turks and have 100 people working on it all at once and get it done in 30 minutes. So it's basically getting a huge task and assigning it to tons of people who complete it together.
Have you used that for anything else?
I haven't really, and I probably should, because it could probably be life-changing if I really dove into it. And it could get a lot of things done, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's one of those things I always forget's there, and then I right. hear about it, and I feel like I should use it for something, yeah. and I never do.
I know. I mostly use Fancy Hands for delegating tasks, because they're really reliable and consistent. But Mechanical Turk, this was my first time I've ever used it.
So you move from getting all the artists, and I like that you created a process, mm-hmm. right? So I'm a huge fan of systematizing anything you can get your hands on. So anything yeah. you do on a regular basis, you create a system, which is either a checklist or you get a computer to do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, because how many pieces of artwork are in the book?
75. And I'll tell you where I made a mistake in my system, because I had to go back and do a bunch of work later on. I forgot to get these artists to sign a contract, a release, or an agreement, I should say, that says, like, look, I can do whatever I want with this art. I can distribute it to promote you. I will promote you and your work, but you have to hold me harmless and not come sue me, basically. This is anything that comes of it, you gotta release. And then the other part that, so I had to go back and get them all to sign digital agreements. And then the other part was I wasn't crystal clear on dimensions and specifications for the portraits. So some people submitted stuff that wasn't high enough resolution. Other people submitted stuff that was in RGB versus CMYK, which means red, green, blue versus, I think, cyan, magenta, yellow, whatever. So it's like all Illustrator, Photoshop stuff, right? That I didn't account yeah. for. What I wish I'd done before I built the system was sat down with the person who was going to be putting the book together and say, hey, what all do you need from me to make this as painless and as easy as possible for you so that you can make this book super fast?
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For all the past episodes, the show notes, or to connect with me, you can go to booklaunchshow.com. I have dozens of free book marketing resources and articles that you can access at my website, booklaunch.com. And lastly, if you would like to support the show, you can do that by telling another author about the show and by visiting us on iTunes and leaving a rating and review. Thanks for subscribing and being a part of our work here at booklaunch.com. And we will see you next week for part 2 of the Kickstarter series with Charlie Hone.